Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your gun-o goes based on the data you have printed LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going fine.
Okay, retro, go. Fido, go. Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
Jinsei,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And it's a rainy night here in the Sierra Nevada. I've got Kathy here, who is actually dialed in as host on the show. And your host, John Almada, here, and sitting in Studio B, all heated up and warm in the middle of a pretty nasty Sierra storm that's brewing out here. We've been through some pretty high winds, lost a few trees here on the property, but thank God nothing hit any of the studios, and the main ranch house is doing good. I am back after roughly 4 weeks of getting body slammed by two surgeries in one, and am just now, it's my second time back on the air. I was really on Kathy's show here a couple of days back, and was going to come back last night, but the weather was bad, and I was having a little bit of healing pain. The surgery site where I had my hernia operation was giving me fits, and I thought, you know, I'm a little under. I don't think I feel like sitting up for a while. So I rested today and still had a little bit of it this morning, but then it got better, and I feel much improved. Did my meditation work, got back into the kind of the normal thing for me doing readings and things like that. So I'm probably going to attempt a little bit of that. Got the ovulus just in case. And, in case I see Michael come in, I don't know if he's going to pop in on us, but he always asks for the ovulus. So I thought we'd do that. And sure would like to have other callers come in, you know, and go from there and, you know, have ourselves a nice show. Going to hold it to 90 minutes, you know, first time out. I figured the training wheels would be good. So that it's full 2 hours, and then I'll build up. So, but anyway, spent the day before I get into, you know, talking about other things and getting Kathy in here. I spent the day doing evidence analysis from a case we did in Prescott, Arizona. And we were in a place called Matt's Bar and Saloon. And it's a really old, old building. And we got in there, and there's a little girl ghost that is seen by the staff and patrons late in the evening. Usually this little girl comes in and asks to be taken home, and she's just the sweetest little thing, and then she just disappears in front of these people. And we put a digital recorder in that bathroom, and when I ran the first evidence analysis, I haven't done anything, you know, really paranormal since this whole thing hit me. So today I was my baptism, both in this show and doing some evidence work, and I decided to pull that tape out and start working on it. And within about 2 minutes, this girl's voice, as we walked in and we're setting up the recorder, we get a girl's voice that says, "Get out." And it was pretty good. It was pretty loud, but we had a whole bunch of Class A EVPs in multiple entities on the tape. So we're going to be doing a show to do the reveal for Matt, who owns Matt's Saloon. He's actually the second Matt to own it. And so we're going to be having him on, and Dominica Amore is going to be there because that's her hometown. So she probably will have him at her house, and we'll have them on. So that's an upcoming show. But Kathy, thank you for being here with me tonight, as always.
You're welcome.
Hello.
And it's just good to have you back.
It's good to be back. That was a real experience, let me tell you. You know, going from, you know, standing up straight in the morning walking in and then being carted out in an ambulance, screaming for pain medicine. I was severely humbled by that, and I'll tell you, it just goes to show you, you don't know what's going to happen in life. So, as I said it the other night, tell people that you love them, just in case something weird happens and you don't know how things are going to turn out. But in my case, it was all good, and I was real relieved when I went back to see my surgeon after my two operations, because I had a gallbladder out, and that was one that was giving me the big pain. And then they found that I had another problem with a big hernia, and it was actually dangerous. And so they fixed both things, and it's kind of the reason why I wasn't feeling good all year. I wasn't telling too many people about that, but I was having some troubles. And so when that all got fixed, I've been steadily getting better, but there's days, and then there's days with surgery, healing from it. So you definitely feel it. And I see Dom is out there, but and let me see who. Oh, Abstract Truth. That's kind of a neat way to spell abstract. Anyway, I'm telling you, it's just good to be back in the chair. This place just means a lot to me, and this show means a lot. It's basically my other half of life, you know, getting in front of the mic and working with all you guys and paranormal people out there who are the best. You know, I got Scott Wise. I mean, I see him from the Ghost Hunters Incorporated. They're a great outfit and did great, great work. I had to get them on the show. I've been remiss in getting ghost hunting groups in for a while and guests of any sort on the show since I've been down. So I'll start scheduling again here this weekend and see who I can get on. Dom, I was talking about, Dominic, I don't know if you were listening in, but, I was talking about the case, and I do have several EVPs from that to play later on in the show tonight. So when we get a moment in between anybody wanting to call in to do readings, and I do see one caller out there, 814, and we've got a Skype number, and I'm a little suspicious on the Skype number. So if someone's in chat and wants to tell me who they are, that's the Skype number dialed in. I'll take it if you tell me who you are out there. So,
can I guess? I have a feeling that the Skype number is our Firewick, and I think the 814 is, let me guess, Wendy Sleek.
There's another 111. You know, I mean, I've got my show dial out, which I know my number on the first one, but then I've got another one down there that's raised that. Because I see Joy. She says she's with her Skype ID just down below with because I know that one. So we've got this unknown. So it is you on Skype. Well, there's two Skypes then. There's another 111 number Skype number. But I'll go ahead and take you guys in the order you called in. Except for the other, still 111 unknown. We got a bogey out there, man. So, anyway, but let me go ahead and let's just start off and we'll just dive into it. Let's do some readings tonight and talk. You know, maybe do a little practice psychometry. God, it's been so long since I've done this stuff, and maybe talk about anything you guys want to talk about. The number is 646-478-0377. And the lines will be open for this 90 minutes, and we'll have a great time. So I'm going to take 814 first. 814, you're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Kathy. This is Shannon. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, sweetie. I hope you guys are having a fantastic night.
Pretty good. We've got the rain and thunder beings outside making their presence known. So the energy's high, you know, and with all this solar activity and everything, yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
absolutely
that big.
Amazing.
What's that?
I said that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, there's just matter of fact, there was a big solar prominence that was fired off of the sun here last week. that's or in the last week, I think, that really put out just a ton of energy. And so the planet's been getting hit with all this, these bursts of solar energy, and that picks up paranormal activity, believe it or not. People don't realize that, but it's definitely has an effect, you know. So when we in the paranormal business, we watch for those kind of things. But the other thing coming up, just so everybody knows, is there is a lunar eclipse on Monday.
Yes.
And it's the darkest night in 400 and some odd years. And so that's coming up. So a lot of neat things happening, but we're taking away from your phone call. So what are you calling about there, my friend?
Okay. I actually, Kathy knows this, I've been through my run share, okay? But I've had an amazing journey this year with Watch the Left. I've had a lot of things that I've had to let go of and a lot of things to earn, and I do appreciate that. My question is about this gentleman's name, James, or we call him Jimmy.
Okay.
And what outcome, or I should say, I know we're not supposed to focus on the outcome. What do you see with that? What's going on with us?
A relationship question. That's what this is,
yes,
right?
It is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And
now,
I'm going to explain to you after you read why I'm asking.
Okay. Now, remember, I'm a medium, so what I do is I usually talk to dead folks. So when I do, let's just say this. I take a pretty interesting approach with relationship questions. And generally what I do is just ask a few basic questions about what's going on. Number one, you know, this is just, you know, flat out, what do you want from this? I mean, what are you looking for?
What do I want?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what do I want? I would love every day to wake up and see that beautiful face. I feel absolutely, completely blessed. I am blessed. With or without him, I am absolutely blessed in my life.
Okay.
I feel at peace. I trust. I don't have any doubts. I don't have any fears. I feel extremely comfortable. He is my equal. We actually finish each other's sentence, and it's amazing. I don't know how to explain it. I really don't.
Now, that the fact that you're calling me ask about this tells me that he's not in either a rush, or that he's you know, not giving signals that are easily interpreted by you. Would I be correct on that?
Absolutely correct, sir.
Okay, and would I also be correct that he's probably had a you're not the first significant relationship he's had. As a matter of fact, probably it's not that distant in the past that he had another relationship.
Actually, he's been single for quite some time. He's never been married, never had children.
Okay, but he's in that relationship that he had. Did it end badly, or was it end in a way that wasn't, you know, good? That's kind of the sense I get with him. Was it not a good ending as a boyfriend girlfriend thing, or a marriage?
But I really don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of the, did he ever talk about his prior relationships?
Yes, he said that he was with the girl for quite some time, and it just didn't work out.
Okay. We male energies who walk around and beat on our chest and do male-type things have a way of kind of shutting emotions off, as you ladies well know. And
yes.
What he is doing, the typical male thing of denying it ever happened and just, you know, going on. And really, it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room is what you're living with right now. Is there's you, him, and then the past relationship, and it's in the middle. And that's exactly, you know, what's going on here. I see that, Kat. Thank you. That seems to me to be the issue. And it's not so much that you need to know everything that went on. You certainly don't. But have you, you've tried to hint around to him what, you know, what is coming up you know, what you want to happen and how you feel about him, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and the response has been muted at best?
Yeah, last night it was pretty muted. He shut down, yeah.
Well, there's a, you know, generally this kind of thing goes in the, it's fairly predictable, but, you know, there's several ways it can go. You know, number one, he does love you, but he's, you know, in a kind of a mixed place and he needs to process it out. Number two, he's just not serious. You know, that's a, you know, and it's just going to be, you know, if at some point you two break up. Number three, it could be that, he's going to suddenly wake up and smell the coffee and not want to lose you. And so it's definitely a mixed bag with him. The thing I get with him is indecision and not sure what he wants, and he doesn't have the tools. You got to tread carefully because he's pretty skittish. That's kind of the feel I get with him, is he really doesn't want to commit. He's very commitophobic. And what I would get with him is just patience and just accept him as he is and give it time. And then if it's a reasonable amount of time and nothing's happening and you're looking for a little more, say so. And then maybe suggest counseling, because he might want to, and don't put it on him, just say for the two of us. And that way it's not going to be his fault. It's just, hey, I want to work on us, and that will get things going. But I really feel, just based on everything you've said to me and basically what I'm getting from, you know, my guides on this, is that he's very commitophobic, and the relationship didn't work out, and it didn't work out very well for a reason. And he may not have tools. And, you know, some guys need relationship training. You know, I mean, you all know it takes work to make one a relationship really shine, and then keep it up, you know. How long have you been with him? You know, is it been only, you know, less than a year?
Well, we're not, geez, yeah. A little over a month. So we're not, like, even really together. We're together, but we're not together. Does that make sense? Like, we keep running into each other.
Okay. Well, but yeah, it's something that you're hinting around that you would like to make it more, and you're in love with him, right? I mean, that's what I'm sensing.
Yes, I am. And he is a very intelligent, very, very nice person. He really is.
Just remember that love can sometimes be a one-way thing. And if it's not two-way, you just have to look at it and go, okay, love him as he is and let it go and then see what happens. Do you know what his birth sign is, by chance? Would he
be
he's
an Aries. No, he's an Aries.
Aries?
Yep.
Yeah, he strikes me. I mean, I'm a Cancer male, and I'll tell you one thing about we Cancers is we, you know, we'll sit back and go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and when something we want goes to get away, then we rush in and grab it and glom on, you know. And so, major hint to any woman out there who wants to capture me. But, in terms of Aries, I don't know so much how they are in love. I'm just picking up on a little bit of astrology and learning more about that. But I know how I react when something I see is running away. And I think it's hazard to guess that if he sees you moving off and he does have feelings, he may very well decide he wants to make a more aggressive move. You know, if it's a case of that you are not living together and you bump into each other, then be seen with another guy. Go out and have a good time. You don't have to kiss the guy that you are going out with in front of him, but you can sure just kind of let the hints drop that you're looking around.
Well, I did that, and he was really jealous, and then he, like, I don't know, like, the next time he was acting a little distant, and then he came on strong again last night, and then he got distant again.
Well, how long is this relationship for you? You know, how many months are we talking about? You know, it's less than a year?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You know, usually for, you know, like you've already said, you basically want to settle down with them and have a life with them. My read on this is that give it time. You know, read some of the literature on both how men and women approach relationships. I know this is a very old title, but it's still just as true now today as it was when it first came out. But, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Learn how we men think, because you're describing a classic pattern with men, which is we orbit. That's kind of the way we are. We come around close. We do a close pass, communicate our love and devotion, and then we need to processing time in the man cave. And it's not that we don't love you women. We love you to death. But we got to go to our cave, you know, and process and scream and do what men do and talk it out with other men because, you know, and naturally, you know, our friends we go talk to, just like you ladies do. And then what happens is... once they process that, then they can come back and they can be closer to you. But the thing you really need to understand is he's coming back around in a circle. So give that some time. You're a little early on the commit thing, just my read with you. And give him a little time. Give it a few more months and see how it goes. And you've already tried the thing with the jealousy thing. You know he's still interested. So, you know, to me, he's on the edge leaning towards you. And if you play your cards right, he'll end up deciding you're something special to live with. That's my read with you.
Well, you know what's funny is that he mentioned men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And he said, you really should read that book. And I said, I have. And he said, you should read it again.
Then that's two of us saying it now. So he's a smart guy. And, you know, it really is a true thing with us. We men are just strange beings. And you girls all talk to each other a lot about relationships. Men, we talk about stuff, except for our real trusted friends. We talk about the relationships. You know, I've got two close friends that I really tell my stuff to, you know. And as men, we go, you know, when another man comes to you with a problem like that, we're deeply honored that you would take us into our confidence, you know, and then we talk amongst each other and we do our best to help the other guy because that could be us walking around, you know. And then when it goes back and forth, you know, and that's what best friends in terms of male friendship is about. So I he's wise and I think he does care for you, but just give it a little time. I really think you're going to end up with a relationship with him if you play your cards right and just be patient with him. He's a strange beast, I know.
Can do.
But I think that he's probably looking at you the same way, and he's probably reading the book trying to figure out, how do I work with her? And the fact that he did that says a lot. Yeah.
He said that I was an extremist.
He said you were what?
An extremist.
In his mind, probably. And, you know, and if you just sit there and smile, laugh at him and put one of those coy little female things up on him and leave him guessing, he'll love you for that. And just keep him guessing and then just kind of just play the game and enjoy it. And you'll have a fun time with it.
Well, Shannon, we're going to have to keep it short because John has just gotten out of the hospital not too long ago and he's just trying to ease himself back into doing readings again. And we don't want him to wear his energy out so much tonight. But thank you for calling in, darling.
Thank you.
Yeah, Shannon. The last thing is just be patient and go read that book, okay? You promised me that.
Again, yes, I will.
Okay. And then you call back in and let me know how it's going, all right?
Yes, I will.
Okay. We love you.
Thank you.
And, hey, take care, sweetie. Let's see. We've got just between all the calls coming in, we've got a few of them out there. I'm going to jump out and just quickly run the folks that are dialed in here. And we've got quite an audience tonight for my first return back. We've got Abstract Truth. Well, first we have Kathy, my co-host, who's kind of actually fired up the show for me and is running all the panels. And I'm just looking at what's going on up here. Got myself.
And wearing your purple britches.
Got my purple britches on. And I'm sitting here in Studio B with the rain coming down. Let's see. We've got Abstract Truth is out there. We've got Amethyst. Hi, Amethyst. Love you, dear. Del Pittman, good to see you, my friend. A Dominica de Morte. She's out in Prescott, Arizona. And I am working on some evidence from a case of hers and a friend out at Matt's Barn Saloon out there in Prescott. And let's see, we've got Ethereal Noesis, and I think I said that right. And you're so ethereal. And we've got Joy, Fire Witch is with us. Hello, Joy. Good to see you, my dear. We've got guest 3677 and guest 3814. You are from France. And we have Mother Jerry. Haven't seen you in a while, my friend. Scott Wise, Ghost Hunters Incorporated. Those guys rock. And we got Wendy Sleep. And then to all the unknowns out there, we know you're out there, so we love you too. So I said it all there. So you guys are here. And Kathy, of course, it wouldn't be a show if I didn't do this.
Now there you I'm going to come and hunt you down.
Well, that's what it sounds like outside. Good Lord. I woke up, I'll tell you what, before we take the next call, I woke up and I woke up in the middle of the night. Actually, it was about, about 3. And it was really pounding out there. And then about 4:30, I finally woke up again, and I just couldn't sleep. I got up and went out and looked, and the trees were just all over the place. And I listened to the ponderosa pines. We've got two about 120-foot tall ponderosa pines in our front yard. They're just huge. And they were just whistling. It was just powerful winds, and so spanking to me, Joan. So it was something to see, that kind of energy coming in. And I thought, well, it's an appropriate way to get back to work, is have a storm come in and get me all fired up. So anyway, we got Joy, I think, here, and I see 505, I see you, so you're next up after Joy here, so we're going to get Joy on. Joy?
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. That was mean. That was mean, John.
That's not mean.
Yeah, the water sound that is.
That is
what?
Mean.
What?
He tried to get me to run to the bathroom.
No, I use that at work. I got one of those at work. It's so great when I get people come in and they start taking my time. I just turn it on real low in the background, and then they don't see me doing it, and then that sound's there, and it just, next thing you know, they're going to the bathroom. So it's great. Anyway, that's not me. It's self-preservation. So, hello, my dear.
Hey,
how
what
are
you preserving, John?
Sanity. Trust me, sanity. If it's work, it's sanity. You don't understand. But anyway, Joy, you are back, and you are here on my show, and I appreciate
it. Yeah, and you're back, and I can't believe it's been 4 weeks since your surgery. I've evidently been out of it.
Well,
but
actually, 4 weeks
I've
since
been
the,
in really bad shape, and I've spent most of my days in bed, other than to get up and feed my bird, and I have to do that. And then go back to bed and get up and give her second feeding, and of course, I have to cover at night. And I think I've been doing that quite a bit. And
so,
it seems like I get better after about 3 days of laying in bed, and then I don't know, maybe get on the computer a little bit, and then the next thing I know, it's like all I want to do is go back and lay in bed. So, but I did start drinking grapeseed oil 4 days ago, and I had gone to the grocery store, and it was weird. I was walking through the aisle, I was looking for, gonna get some olive oil before I even got to that. I just happened to look over and I saw this grapeseed oil sitting in with the Italian section. I was gonna check for some spinach pasta, which they didn't have, and I saw this grapeseed oil, and I just kept staring at it, and I felt like Spirit was telling me, get it. I had no idea why, but Spirit said, get it. So I did. Brought it home, put it in the cabinet, and then finally a couple of days later I started researching it. And I found, hey, this is good for inflammation. They say it's great for multiple sclerosis. So I thought, okay, I just need to start drinking that. And I did that 4 days ago, and now I'm starting to feel better. So
I know the feeling. When I had shingles back in 2006, I had a probably the worst form of shingles you can get. It went into my eyes. I was actually going blind. Mm-hmm. And they arrested the virus, but I'd already had a lot of damage to my whole nervous system, and it was like getting, you know, multiple sclerosis. You know, I was having the tremors and the whole thing. You know, can't remember what they call it, but yeah, it was just it was terrible. I mean, you're twitching in bed at night, and it's just freaking me out.
And that's what I've been doing a lot of lately.
Yeah, neuropathy. That's what they call it, neuropathy,
and I
researched it, and I found in John Hopkins University, I think it was, I found a research paper on shingles treatment, and it turned out it was the answer for me was fish oil. And it seems these oils have a lot to do with nervous system reconstruction and helping nervous systems repair themselves.
Yes,
and so, the grapeseed extract is one I've heard of before.
Right, and I started drinking extra virgin olive oil a couple of months back, and I think it's probably helping a little bit. At least I can tell a difference on that so far as being cold all the time. It was getting bad, and over the past year it has really got to the point where I'm cold unless I'm like at 83 or 84 degrees.
Well,
you're
feeling a difference now, though, with this this grapeseed.
In the past 4 days, like today, I have, and I don't know if I have to attribute it to the grapeseed oil.
Huh.
But I had been without my baclofen, which is for mainly used for MS patients and works on the central nervous system and suppressing it. And I had been without that for a while, and I finally got somebody to, you know, get my prescription pill. Fortunately, they transferred it from Pennsylvania without a problem. But so I think that's making a difference too, because it's gotten to where I hadn't been able to sleep at night because of the muscle spasms.
Yike. You've been going through it.
You just lay there and, you know, the muscle spasms, you know, start low and then go high in the body, and it's just back and forth. But, yeah, it's good to hear that you're starting to do better after your surgery. And I wanted to share that grapeseed oil because it's something I think you probably want to try.
Well, you know, I'm on a real change. I mean, when you take a piece of organ out of the body that was there doing things, in my case, my bladder was completely full of stones.
Wow.
And they took it out through my belly button. I was actually, what I didn't tell a lot of people was I was actually in a real dangerous thing. I was actually in danger of dying. and a lot of people didn't know that. I mean, I told a couple of folks, my friend Spencer, the day before surgery, when I found out from my surgeon just, you know, what a rough position I was in. I told him, and I was actually kind of turning green. I was walking around just, you know, it felt like I had a football inside my to the right of my stomach, and it was pressing all the time. And and they had to put me on really powerful antibiotics just to even operate on me. And when I went into surgery, my surgeon came in and looked at the latest stuff and says, okay, it's about a 75% chance I'm going to get it out arthroscopically, and then 25% you're going to get it cut open on the side. And I was going, and he said, you got anything you want to say? And I said, yeah, just one thing. And he goes, what? And I said, do the best operation you've ever done. And he looked at me and he says, you're serious? And I go, no shit, man. Or sorry, no crap. And he started to laugh. says, I promise you I'll do the best operation I've ever done. And I'm here to tell you, he did a great job. So, you know, definitely repeat business for Dr. Locke, is my doctor. So he took good care of me. But, yeah, that thing was in bad, bad shape. They had to bag it coming out. And it really has changed the way I eat. And to give you an idea how much it's changed my life is, since the 18th of November, it's been 1 month now, when this all started, really getting serious, I have lost 20 pounds. I'm now 198 pounds. And so that, I was already doing that other diet before, and I've lost a little over 40 pounds now. So I'm a much thinner host than normal, and I kind of like the way it's going. So I'm going
to eat. Well, yeah,
I
only need to lose maybe, I don't know, maybe like 10 more pounds, but, and I'll be back to what I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
That's
I don't
the
know.
Bright side of
and
all this, you know.
But my weight loss was not.
Start losing weight and we become like we're 20 again, right?
My weight loss was not a healthy thing. I mean, I tried to lose weight, and for a couple of, and couldn't. And then all of a sudden, I got hit with a really bad MS flare before I left Pennsylvania when I moved to Florida. And I lost 50 pounds without even trying.
Yeah, it's a strange thing.
This weight loss was within 2 months. Maybe closer to a month. I didn't even really realize I'd been so ill and not, you know, that I really didn't notice it until I got ready to move to Florida, and I'm like, wait a minute, my clothes are falling off.
This happened to me last week. I was I went to put my pants on, and I noticed they were a bit baggy. And then I took a step. I got up, jumped in my pants, and was started to walk in to go get coffee, and my pants fell down around my knees.
Really?
The tightest setting, and I'm like going, well, that ain't working right. And it was like a happy moment. I thought, well, I'm just going to run in check.
Did you work or at home?
Yeah, and I broke, you know, I broke 200 pounds that day, and I was like, woohoo, you know, this is cool. So, you know, I mean, but the deal is, though, when you have these kinds of things happen with the gallbladder and digestive systems, you cannot have the oils like you used to. So I'm going to be about a year getting back to normal type eating, and I'm very limited in certain kinds of foods I eat. So my body is telling me to do this, and what's been noticeable is I've noticed as my abilities have begun returning that it seems like some things are stronger. So I'm definitely improving in that area. But what's so strange is post-surgery when I got home, I had noticed a spirit that was with me in the hospital, and I'm very sure it was my grandfather who was a neurosurgeon, and I asked him to be there with me, partly because I wanted him to be there and make sure my doctor did everything right. And I noticed, I woke up and I noticed I had a spirit to the right, and I couldn't tell. I just thought it was a man, and then I had a feeling it was Grandpa. So I said, thanks, Gramps, I'm doing good, you know. And he kind of just disappeared. And, you know, and I did great, you know. My first walk, I did my walk out. They got me up at about 4 o'clock. I got out of surgery about 1, and they had me walking at 4. And by 9 o'clock, I was walking around the whole upper floor where I was at. You know, and I could actually walk alone without too much trouble. So I was discharged the next day, and as soon as I got home, there were I was so tired from the trip. I just went straight to bed, got in bed, and I was laying down, and I slept a little while. And when I woke up, I noticed I was seeing lights. And what I realized was, and I was not on any heavy, really bad pain medicine. They gave me Vicodin. And, you know, I'm not prone to hallucinations. That's not how I am. But I'm looking around, and I'm looking at little sharp lights, like little angelic lights. And that's what I got the feeling of, is that they were angelic. And they were all over. And I counted 40 of them.
Wow.
And they sort of started dissipating after the first few hours. And the next day, there were about half that many I counted. And then the next day, it went down to about 5 to 10. And then, you know, I just see one, maybe one a day, two a day. It's like they're checking on me. And you know, and I thanked him. I said, "Hey guys, you know, thanks for the welcome back. You know, it's cool." And the overall message I've been getting is just rest. They made me rest and read, and a lot of spiritual reading and a lot of things. So there's a lot of good that's come out of this time off, and a lot of good that's happened. So, you know, you can make a thing like this that's happened to you into a bad thing, or you can change it for the good. And I choose to do the good with it. So there's a lot of new things I've learned from a spiritual perspective that are going to show up in the show, and you'll see it in the work. And I just am a lot more thankful and remembering very much that to do this work is a privilege. And having had it taken away and being back in front of here is a big, big thing. So it's just good to be back in the seat. It is good to be home. Oh, Rob, it's good to be home. But hey, well, you called for a reason. We're sitting here just old chatting. Did you have anything in
mind? Actually, after, you know, I realized after what Kathy said that you could probably use some time killing anyway, because you don't really need to be reading and pressing and pushing yourself too much, because you're healing and reading really takes a lot out of you. It's a strain. And I wanted to say hi anyway.
Yeah, you're
'cause I thought like the next time you start doing streaming again, because I realize I have an interesting question we can throw at spirits, because I think something is about to happen with the NWO.
Oh, you mean New World Order?
Yeah, they're up to something. I had a vision about it weeks ago.
Okay. I'm up for talking about that.
Yeah, and stop for a second and say hello to Denise. I see in the chat she just put in that she just had her gallbladder removed and they had problems in surgery.
Oh, my God.
She nearly died.
You had that happen, too. There's two
of
those.
I know.
40, this is a band. Boy, everybody I know is having weird stuff go on. Good Lord, no. Oh.
Well, if I...
It's good to be back, Mother Jerry. I see that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think your surgery was before. I'd have to look at the calendar, but a bad time to be going through surgery and having to deal with recovery since Mercury's in retrograde.
It's actually gone pretty well. I was aware of all that, and it looked like it was going to be an easier retrograde from some of the things I read. And the big thing they said was just to go with it. So that's what I've done. And it's like yesterday when the storm came in and all these things started pointing to me, you know, and I was under the weather, I didn't feel very good. I've just learned to let go, you know, just let go, let things happen. And go with the energy. And when you feel a bit better, you get up and you can go do things. And it's been a real eye-opener for me. You know, I used to be able to bow my neck and just go, no, I'm going to block my way through it. Well, now it's like, you know, I give myself permission to be human and to not have a great day. You know, and I've always been a little bit willing to postpone a show anyway if I'm not up to snuff. But you know, what was nice was Kathy was worried about me, and she called me, bless her heart, and she's like, I just got a feeling you're not going to want to be on. And it's like, she was right. You know, she sensed it well. And it's your first job before you can help other people is to take care of you. You know,
that's a big lesson that we have to learn. And I thought about that yesterday, and I thought of you and being in the same boat as me. Because it finally hit me last night that is one of the lessons, and sometimes that is why we're hit with physical, you know, problems, diseases, things that happen, because Creator is trying to make us see that we have to stop and learn to take care of ourselves. 'Cause,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the times we are busy taking care of others, trying to always help others, and we don't stop and consider ourselves. And somebody brought that up to me last night because we were talking about past lives, and I was describing some of my others and the fact that I had always been like that, always fighting for the underdog, whether it be on the battlefield or just fighting for my friends, but I've always been like that as far as I know. And that's when I was told, this is why what you're going through is happening, because it's time that you stop and see that you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah, what was funny to me was to discover when I got into ER and they ran the tests and they found out I had not one problem but four, and I had three hernias and the gallbladder, and of course the gallbladder was the most immediate problem, but then they told me, you know, you've got a fairly dangerous hernia, you know that, and oh, I see that, Dom. Yeah, we'll be talking about that here coming up. It's just one of those things that you prioritize and just go with it. You know, so they fixed the first two biggest problems, two surgeries in one. And boy, let me tell you, I thought the gallbladder was something, but hernia surgery, a big one like I had, they've got Teflon in me. I have a Teflon patch all sewed in. Mm. And let me tell you, that thing stings sometimes this morning. I was like going, ow, ooh. I go to move and like, God darn that thing, you know, it's definitely an interesting feeling. And now I feel like a cyborg, you know, I'm a psychic or a medium, psychic medium cyborg organism. I've got extra parts in here now.
Hey,
I've got synthetic parts.
John?
Yep.
John, sure Joy can attest to this, that when you're not completely healed or you're sick and you're not up to snuff or whatever you want to call it, you can. Because when you do readings, you exchange energy. And if your energy is not, you know, on a good even keel, or at least a little bit better than that, then you can tend to give them, you know, what they call bad feelings or feeling sick themselves.
Not to mention,
not
to mention there's always a chance, and I don't like to read people, they'll call me, like, and if I'm really sick, it will either take me down so low on my energy when I get off the phone that it takes me days to recover. Or now I've just started telling people I just can't do it right now. I'm already too weak. But I feel like reading when you're sick is not good, because it can affect the reading outcome. Maybe not, maybe so. That may be more with tarot cards than just empath work, but I always worry about that sort of thing and what I tell people.
Well, it's funny because, that actually was one of the points of study that I had while I was down here. And, I've been reading a lot of different mediums, books on these things. And John Edward has a new one, Infinite Quest is the name of the book. And he talks about this kind of thing. And he talked about preparation for readings and being prepared and what to do. And it was a really good checklist. And I've been following it. I've been doing daily meditations, which have been really building me up, and which I now realize I must do. There's no getting away from it. You must put your protection screens up. And, then I started looking, and I'm finding it independently in other places that other mediums and psychics are saying the same thing. And so tonight, before I got on, I did a really powerful meditation. I spent 30 minutes sitting there just working on myself and putting up my screens and, you know, getting ready. And, you know, I am taking it slow. You know, I knocked the show down to about, you know, 90 minutes. And we're going to take it nice and easy, you know. I'm not, the reading I did earlier is just going to be, you know, it was just a real lightweight thing. I wasn't reaching deep in to talk to a spirit. It was mostly advice on a more simple matter. You know, there was, but I did feel a spirit there, and it was, it was her guides working with me. So, you know, it was really nice. It was a nice lightweight thing. But, you know, no, I'm not going to run out and try to be, you know, get back in the saddle and ride full gallop. I think a nice even trot is about what I'm up for. But hey, you know what? We do have a 505 if you want to stay on here, Joy, and you can actually, you know, be part of the panel. How would you like that? Okay.
You know, I'm always up for that.
Yeah. Okay. You are officially a third co-host then here, and I'm going to bring 505 on because you've been so patient and had your hand up. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm not sure that you may be able to answer this one, but can you tell me if my efforts to keep away anything negative from me is working, and if you see my abilities developing further?
And what's your name there?
Gabriel, I'm sorry.
Gabriel?
Yeah.
Are you the Gabriel we see online that comes on? On here?
No.
Okay, there's a different Gabriel.
Yeah.
Number one, these abilities that you've been working on, the sense I get of this is, you know, last 2 years, you know, maybe year and a half, 2 years, is that about right? You've been at it, you know, kind of in a serious way? Have you been really working on yourself?
Yeah, I guess more in depth, yeah.
Okay, and the fact you're asking me that is kind of interesting to me because one of the areas that when you work on your inner development is constant checks and measures. And it's something that I've learned in 20 years of doing this work is constantly checking myself. And you know, and it's funny because you can fall off the path and not even realize you're off of it. As evidenced by my, you know, my fall into a health problem because I was out of balance and I didn't, and I actually consciously did that to myself and I take responsibility for that. But what I'm pointing out to you is that there are tools for measuring where you're at, and that's the sense I have of you is that maybe you're not measuring that so well. And it's a point of when you're externalizing that outside for somebody else to tell you that number one, you are doing good. You know, that's my sense of it, because number one, you're asking the question, you are concerned about it. Number two, you know, the work that you're putting into it is powerful work. You know, you're doing a lot. Now, are you sensing your guides, and are you having paranormal experiences where you're sensing presences around you?
Yeah, I definitely feel.
All right, so you know your guides' names, and you know who they are?
No, I don't know their names, and I haven't been able to get any, like, direct messages. That's why I'm worried that something negative is around me, because sometimes I will just feel off, you know? And then, like, one time I seen a shadow in my house, and as soon as I called for God, the shadow took off out the corner of my ceiling. And I don't know if that was negative or good, but I don't think it was good.
Well, there's some interesting things that have to do with both spiritual and then human physiology to explain to you on this. Number one, that when you look at a shadow, shadow beings are generally seen out of the corner of the eye. And the reason for that is that the rods and cones in our eyes and the black and white are a little more sensitive into a further into different spectrums than the color rods and cones that we look directly at things with. So when we see a shadow, I just had something bang in here, so I guess I'm getting a welcome back from my spirits. But when we look at a spirit off to the left or right of our eyesight and we see it in peripheral vision and we turn to look at it and it's gone, that's exactly why. So that doesn't mean that it's negative energy. It just means that the way our physiology sees these entities is that's how it works. for a lot of people. Some people don't see them at all. I routinely see this stuff. We have shadows all the time in the house. Mom and me both see them all the time up at the Mean Ranch house. And I see them in here. You know, it's a common thing. So don't put time negative automatically to it. Look for what your inner senses are telling you about it. You know, basically the sense I get is it was a more of an emotional, oh my God, I just saw something, rather than a spiritual, what is that and what's its intention? And should I do a greeting for it? You know, first greet it and ask it what its business is there. And, you know, take a more calm approach to it. And it's not that you didn't, but it's a surprise. I mean, I still get surprised by it. You know, I see things, I go, ooh, what's that? And then I go, oh, hi, how are you? You know, and then you can develop a relationship with that. It likely is your guide or one of your guides or a spirit that's attached to you for some reason, or it may just be a local ghost hanging out. So you don't know yet. But that's something you can work on and develop, you know, and to learn to learning about your guides, there's plenty of meditations. And this is the one thing that is so important in this business. And I've learned with increasing emphasis is that to develop the inner self is to be working daily with meditation of some sort. And it doesn't mean you have to sit around, it doesn't mean any of that. You know, real meditation is just sitting and quieting yourself. And sometimes you can meditate with eyes open, just sitting there, just looking at it and putting your mind in a certain state and then sensing what's coming in. Then you'll start getting the names. And you can there's any number of resources. You know, I'm not going to, you know, go into the thousands of them out there, but tapes, books, you join a group. But these are the things you need to further yourself. And it really does help when you do work with groups. So I'm kind of big on that. I believe that being around others who are experienced can help you develop that. So, you know, you really got a powerful drive to do this. And I think you were inspired by somebody who was close to you or you know, that you had looked up to that kind of, you know, put you in this way. And you're probably not the first in your family, you know, to have these abilities. I think it just kind of comes down the line. But you're really actively working on it.
Yeah, well, it was actually an experience that I had when I was younger is what makes me want to do it. But I wanted to tell you, is I've tried spirit guide meditations, and for some reason that doesn't work. But if I sit in my room and I call for my angels and, you know, Archangel Michael and all that, I feel them. I feel them around me. You know, like I tell them to let me know that they're here, and they touch my face and like my hands, and I'll feel this kind of tingling, I guess, an expansion type feeling like around my head. And so I definitely feel them, but I don't get any names or anything. And that's what I was wondering if that was going to get better, if I was going to be able to.
Well, you know, it's funny because I've been doing this work, like I said, you know, going into the 20th year now, and I didn't know anything about my guides' names for a very long time. And it's actually, I was just shown my guide's name this year after that many years. Okay. So, I found that I needed to go to a place where the energy was so high that it would actually change me. And I found it in Arizona, you know, and that's where part of my trip was about, down to Arizona. And I was at Cathedral Rock. I just visited Bell Rock, and I was enveloped in a really powerful energy. And when I left there, I actually saw this. It was I've described it earlier shows, a brilliant blue flame kind of like all around me. And I was looking through it. I was sitting up at the top of this one spire of Bell Rock. But when I got down about an hour later and I was walking, I was hiking through Cathedral Rock area and taking the trails there, I saw a red energy go flying by me, and it looked like a blanket going by about 100 feet to my right, and it was just there, and it was gone. And I'm looking at this going, what the hell? That was cool. And all of a sudden, I get the name Ganda, and that is my guide's name. That's my lead guide, and he is an Indian. He's actually an Indian warrior and a very wise man, and he's been steadily revealing more about himself to me, and I just found his last name. I'm still learning it. I just found this like a few days ago, here I am. I've been doing this work all this time, and it's taken me that long to learn. So you go to school process, and they hand you, you know, your next grade It's an individual thing, see. Yeah. And so you were talking about the meditation didn't work, and that was really a standout for me. As I listened to that, and I went, uh-huh, they're going to make him go the hard way, just like me, because I'm a knucklehead. And what they're doing to you on the meditation, you've got to get back on that. That's showing you do that, and you're going to start showing you're going to be like going, oh, they're going to be looking at you and, oh, are you serious now? Okay, we'll do some more stuff with him, and then we'll test him, and we'll push him and prod him in different ways. So that's kind of what's going on with you. It's going to happen when it happens for you with the name. And, and you do have something working. I mean, the fact that you can feel them touching you and all that, try different things. You might even try a little EVP, you know, just put a radio on some static and have a digital tape recorder and then play it back. You might be surprised at what comes on because you may end up getting names and things. So
I also feel energy like coming at me. I don't know how to explain it. Like I'll talk to them and ask them to help heal and open my chakras and stuff, and I'll feel this energy like if it's going in through my forehead or the top of my head, or, you know, it's like all of a sudden this pressure. But I wanted to say that's cool that you got your experience with your guide and the name, and that probably was exciting, you know?
It was. I mean, I was sitting there and I was just walking along, and all of a sudden the name Gonda pops into my head, and I'm going, what the hell is Gonda? I don't know what Gonda is. I thought that was the stupidest thing I ever heard. I mean, I was like going, you're kidding me. You know, and I'm looking up at the sky going, you guys, you got to be kidding. Gonda? I mean, what's that, Uganda? I mean, I was starting to poke fun, and I know they were getting ticked at me. And then when I got home and I found out it was an extremely spiritual name and had all sorts of connotations, and I knew nothing about this, you know, and now I'm finding out who he is and more about him. And I'll reveal more. He's actually on Wikipedia, of all things. So that name is out there. But and it was something I'd never seen. You know, so it's not like it was just floating around the subconscious waiting to pop in. Spiritual development takes work, and it's a hard, grinding, day-to-day progress thing that you're not looking for, you know, a gold medal. You're looking to develop yourself and build on it, and that will happen for you when you're ready. And when that time happens, that's going to be special, because then the next thing that they do is they start doing other things. You know, I mean, I got that lesson and bang, I was hit with, you know, a physical disability that knocked me out for 6 weeks off work, you know, and I've been humbled beyond belief. And that time has been heavy spiritual growth, you know, so you are going to do just fine. And, you know, the big thing to be is take a look at yourself and take stock and measure yourself all the time. You know, mind, body, spirit are there for a reason. And when you start looking at mind, body, spirit, if you take that, that's a good yardstick. You know, you start looking at how am I doing mind-wise? How am I doing body-wise? Am I lying to myself about my body? Maybe I got a problem with my body, kind of like I did. You know, and I was putting to the side going, no big deal. And next thing I know, I'm screaming on the floor going, ah! You know, spirit, you know, I was working on spirit, but I forgot the other two. And, you know, that's a big system. That's what makes up the human being. So, you know, I think that's a good one for you. But go ahead with what you were going to say.
I was going to say is they definitely leave me signs, too, like out in public and stuff to let me know that the angels are around me. And pretty big signs. Yeah. So I think it's amazing that they can, like, orchestrate that, you know, because, I mean, one day it was probably one of the biggest ones everywhere I went. And I've never come across this name. I've known one person named Angel when I was probably, like, 9 years old and never since. And, you know, one day I went out, and this was, you know, a city north of me. And every single place that I went that day, we went, like, out to eat, to a thrift store, you know, just around. Everybody that I bumped into had the name Angel, and they had a large name tag with almost the identical decoration around it. And the day before that, I was asking them if they can give me a name, and, you know, that happened. And I also think they lead me to books, because I'll ask a question, and then I'll end up getting a book, and the book kind of, like, tells me everything, you know. And then I was thinking about changing my name, because when I was younger, I didn't like it. People made fun of it, and so I was thinking about changing it. And then after I, you know, made that statement and really was, you know, in my mind I was for sure going to change it, all of a sudden everybody that I talked to was like, oh my gosh, Gabriel, I love that name, like the archangel. And, you know, they started like praising my name, and I was like, that's weird, maybe that's a sign, you know.
That was definitely a sign, and you've got an angelic name for a reason. You know, and that's part of the drill. When you sign on, you know, that name means something, and you have a very spiritual name. You know, it's a good name to have. So you know, you're sensing all the right stuff. I mean, it's funny you would mention angels, because I was scared to death Friday December 3rd when I went into surgery, and I was you know, I'd never had body surgery before. I was all freaked out. I'm going, God, I hope they find the right parts. I don't throw out, like, you know, intestines or something else. And I was like, and I'm all nervous. I didn't sleep the night before. I was all freaked out. And I get in there, and this woman came in, and she was just an angelic presence. And she put me at ease. And she, you know, she did my IV, and she was working on me. And she gave me a shot with the tranquilizer. And just as she did that, I said, what's your name? And she says, my name's Angela. I knew I was going to get an angel. And she's like laughing, and she's going, you're not even going to remember my name. And I'm going, oh yeah, I am. And she's going, no, not the stuff I'm giving you. And I'm going, yeah, but I'm a really smart guy, and I'm going to remember this. And when I went to leave, I made sure that my charge nurse that was discharging me, I said, hey, you got to go tell Angela that I remember her name. And she goes, oh, down over there in OR. And I said, yeah. So I'm sure she's like all freaked out, laughing, you know, but I had my own angel experience, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
They do that. Well, I mean, they do that. It's the best thing in the world when you know they're around, and you're exactly right on the books.
Yeah.
They do an awful lot of work that way. That's the neatest thing in the world when you're getting active feedback from them, you know. And,
yeah.
And it's, and you know, once I get back on the saddle with the show a little more with you know, the ITC work, instrumental transcommunication, and their voices. I've gotten angels on tape, you know, and that is the neatest thing in the world to hear them, you know, when they come in and identify themselves and say, yeah, we're here for you, you know, and
yeah.
They're working with, you know, and they're my, and it's not like they're going to do stuff for me. They're like the parents who are coming in kind of keeping an eye on us, because we're on this mission and they know stuff, but they're not going to tell us. They're not going to do it for us. We have to get off our butts there and do this stuff. And it's not easy. You know, we signed on for a difficult mission. You did, I did, everybody out there did. You know, and we're just trying to learn how to get, you know, get through the experience, you know, this thing called life. And to them, they're laughing at us. Like, you know, they laugh their asses off at us because they think, you know, they're so blind, you know, but they're working their butts off, and they respect us for having volunteered to come down to do this. That's the neatest part of it. So, I mean, you know, hats off to you, because you're really working on yourself.
Yeah, I want to make that connection. I mean, just hearing you talk about him, I want that deeper connection, you know. I do think it's cool. I think it's amazing that the messages that they left me, and, you know, I don't take any of that for granted. And my mom was in the hospital, and I think I seen one coming up. It was me, my mom, my aunt, and, like, my brother, and nobody else seen it, but I seen a light, a feather made out of light, and it, like, came to me, and it touched me on the nose, and I had to, like, take off my glasses and kind of, like, look around, and I looked to see if anybody else saw that, and they didn't, you know. And they've left feathers on top of my car, like all white of the car. I walk to the side of the car, and then I walk back to the front, just that short, and there's a feather laying on top.
You are a very special person doing for that to be happening. They are really working on you. I think I don't see any negative energy at all around you. You are well protected. The fact that they would come touch you and do that in your presence in a visible spectrum is a big thing. I mean, for me to have had, you know, my experience and see so many greeting me back home, you know, post-surgery, and then just continue to check on me, you know, that's a big thing. You know, that tells you you're doing something right. And, you know, they're coming up and they're just tapping you on the nose. Ah, you can tweak your nose. You don't know what we're going to put you through, buddy. So, I mean, you're doing great, man. You know, the overall sense I get with you, you just are, you're wanting everything too fast, you know, and that's normal.
Yeah.
You know, we all want to know what, you know, we're all looking at it going, oh, my God, you know, the spirits are out there, you know, and, you know, we're working on it. We want to know this stuff, and it's not fast enough, and they're laughing at us because they know you have no clue, you know, and you know, it took me 20-some-odd years to get a name. You know, and I finally got it, you know, and Gonda, who the hell is this Gonda guy? You know, then I find out more about him, and he turned out to be he was a very kick-ass warrior in his time in India, over in western India, and he put the Pashtuns in their place. He was a badass warrior, and but he had a fair sense about him, and he brought his family honor, and was, and it makes sense that a warrior would come to me, you know, because of my family background and being in the business that I'm in, you know. So I like that, you know. It's a very respectful thing to have somebody like that as your guide who understands you and you understand him. And I look forward to see where the next what the next phase is with him. And but you know, they've been really busting my you know what by basically saying you're going to rest, you know. So that's what I do because I have to. So I just sit around just. Going okay, and you know, they're going to build me up, and I've already been told I'm going to have an exceptional year. You know, I already know that a lot. It's going to be good and bad, and but they say I'm ready to handle it and I can take it on, and I'm going okay. You know, let's get the mission going, and I'm ready. So you know, it's a day by day thing, and you're the sense I get with you is you're going to pick the name up probably earlier than me, but you've got a number of years of hard work to do that. So just, you know, that's not the biggest thing you've got on your plate right now. You've got stuff dealing with, if I read you right, you've got stuff to doing with finishing what you start and your patience issues, of course, we talked about. So, but finishing what you start, being really good about that and not trying to do too many things at once, which you, I think that's kind of the sense I get from them with you.
Okay.
And, you need to stick to focus on one thing at a time. For a while.
Okay.
Don't turn too many things because you're a smart kid, but you are all over the place. And they're looking at you going, you know, he's going to burn out if he keeps us up. So
yeah,
it just takes to heart. You know, but you're doing great. You're doing great. So, Gabriel,
right.
You know, thanks for calling in. I mean, we're going to coming up on 18 minutes left, but if you want to stay on the line, we're just going to take a minute, and Kathy, you know, I need to stand up a minute and just take a short break. If we could do some music or something and give everybody time for...
I just want to say to you, you can just mute me and I'll listen to the rest of the show, but I wanted to say good luck, and, you know, I hope you feel better, and good luck on your year coming up, and hope it's more better than bad.
Yeah, it's... you know what? Good and bad are two sides of the same coin, and the big thing is just how you handle it. You know, and that's you know, I'm just looking for hopefully a better year, but you know, things do happen, and you know, the thing I look at is just how you react to it, and where do you find the good in it? So I'm going to find a lot of good next year, so that's what I'm looking for. But thanks for calling in, Gabriel, and I will. I'll go ahead and mute you. And then we're going to just take, yeah, I see the mats thing there, Dom. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And we may extend a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. And let's go ahead, and Kathy, and I think maybe take a minute or two.
Okay,
I'll play.
Yeah. What do you want to hear?
I'll play. Oh, my God, what do I have left for music? They God darn BTR, they moved a bunch of my stuff around. Like they cut a bunch of my stuff out. I'll go ahead and play the Arizona bumper, and then we'll just kill it when I get back here after a couple of minutes. So, okay, here we go. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and we'll be back, and we will extend just a little bit just to get the Max Saloon stuff in for Dom. Here we go.
You or me?
Oh, you. I love you guys.
Thank you.
And welcome back. John?
Yeah, I just I cut it short there. I was like running to grab water. I was like, oh, I can get water before it ends. And it just had a little dead air there. Sorry, guys. So getting used to my show. It's kind of weird. It's good to be back here. Anyway, hey, is Dom on? I don't know. Is Dominica there? She
nope.
might dial in. I don't know if she's going to dial in or not. So she wanted to.
Her area
wanted
code
to,
would be 928.
928, yeah. Well, if she doesn't dial in, she wanted me to talk a little bit about the events with what we had with our evidence that we got from Matt's Bar and Saloon out there in Prescott, Arizona. And we had some pretty interesting stuff happen. It was that was a day investigation. It was, I think, September 28th or 29th. We were walking around the town, and she took me everywhere. And she was the best person to stay with. It was the most, you know, she's a gracious guest. And, you know, she had her dog, you know, Jack, who just is a ton of fun. And, you know, and she had me stay in her dining room, which has actually got a big bed in the middle of it. There's no dining room per se, but I slept there, and it was the most comfortable place I've ever slept. I slept like a baby there, and I stayed there 3 days, and she took me everywhere, and we had a great time, and I found out all about Haunted Prescott. And if you ever get the chance to stop in Prescott, Arizona, the people there are just hospitable as heck and the nicest folks. So I had a great time, and when I moved to Arizona, that might be right on the top of the list of places to live. So it's definitely just a neat place. And we investigated Nat's Bar and Saloon, which is on, I'm trying to remember the name of it. I think it's Whiskey Row is the name of it. And there's just this big line of Western saloons that were there. And they had everything going on there. It was prostitution to you know, gamblers to, you know, heavy drinking and bar fights and gunfights and the works. And so a lot of heavy duty living went on there. And this saloon was no different than that. And we got some EVPs in there. The story was, I hear somebody talking. Is that you?
It's Dom.
Oh, I see Dom right now. Hi, Dom.
Okay. Hi, John and Gabby. I'm here with Kaya. She's an awesome.
Hi, Kaya.
Hi there. I didn't know I was on. We were chatting. Well, thank
okay.
you for all those nice things you said, John, and that we'll put the bed back in the dining room for you anytime you want. Or else we could just leave it in that bedroom.
Well, it was really neat, and it's a very interesting house. She has the most interesting gait, and a little. It's just it fits her personality to a T. That place. So you go through, and she's got all her tomatoes, and you know, there's all food growing around the whole entire house, and you know, and her artwork. She's an amazing artist, and you know, she's got spirits hanging around in there. You know, and I actually did some EVP work in her house, and we got some interesting spirits had some stuff to say, and so. I improvised. I didn't have my formal studio stuff, so we made something. I came up with an idea, and it turned out spirits are more than willing to work with us on it. So yeah, I got some great EVPs, and then we went out and did quite a bit of activity out there. But when I got back, I was already on the downhill slide with my illness, and I knew something was not right, and I just didn't do any of my evidence analysis. And so I just today started working on stuff for the first time. And we pulled the first tape I pulled was the one where we put the recorder in the bathroom there at that bar, the woman's bathroom, which is where the people see that little girl entity who comes out at usually in the evening, and she was evidently murdered there by a not so nice guy and assaulted. And she comes out and she asks for people to take her home, I think is the way the story goes. And so, you know, this afternoon, I had about 40 minutes of audio because this is a quick daytime investigation. We did a hit and run. We were there about an hour or two, I think about an hour and a half maybe. And we threw that recorder in there, and I think we got about 10 to 15 entities came through. And we're looking at about 40 EVPs. And I was still analyzing when I did the uploads here of some of the stuff we got. But a whole bunch of Class A came through. And remind you, it was a real noisy place, so I threw out a lot that, you know, ordinarily you might not. But I only went with the stuff that I could really be sure that I thought was defendable EVP. But that place is, you know, Don, that place is active as hell. I mean, there's a bunch of spirits in there.
Yeah, you want to go back at 2 o'clock in the morning? That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, what we'd like to do, and you know, it's funny, Alan, I saw, said the same thing in the chat room, was that 2 o'clock is the best time to work in bars, and it's good reason, because you're getting a lot less noise from all the clientele, and for our kind of work, we have to have some quiet. We did this under extremely challenging circumstances with actual business running during the daytime. And it's possible to do an investigation like we did, and we, you know, this is the living proof of it, some of the stuff we have, but you know, as far as evidence that we got. But I did manage to secure some EVPs, and you know, one of them says here that I can go ahead and play it if you guys want. Is the We Kept the History. You remember that? I told you that one when we were chatting. We Kept the History. And that really surprised me. And we got a lot of musical-sounding EVPs. Now, there was some music playing in the background, but some of the things that were being said and the cadence in which they were said, there's a certain kind of voice that you get with EVP that's not something you would expect from a lead singer. And when and I was able to separate out what was what, you know, working on this. So this one, I'm not sure it's how it's going to sound on Blog Talk, but let's see. I'm going to go at 100%, and we'll play it several times, and we'll see what we get. This is the We Kept History EVP. Yeah, it, you can hear it, and it's a lot much clearer on, I'm going to take it to 150 so we can try to boost that up. And I'll take it, we'll do to step it up and one more time after this one. So here we go at 150. And I'm still working on the filtration with that, but it was enough that, yeah, I'm going to load it up on the website, and people will be able to download it. But let's take it at 200. Yeah, and then we had another one. We were getting repeatedly, actually, it wasn't so much angry, Magina. It was, what it was, it was, when you hear it, it's better on tape, you know, on the MP3 extract that I did. It sounded like it was really trying to be informative. And what we were getting were, there seemed to be several spirits who were kind of trying to round these guys up that were all running around confused. And then there were ones that were asking for help repeatedly over and over on this 40 minutes of work we did in this thing. We were getting requests for help. And so this is why I would like to go back and you know, next time I'm in Arizona is to go in there and really spend some time trying to find out, you know, maybe do some short burst recording and then analyze it right there to find out what they want and then to see if we can help them in some way. Because, there was an accident in there. There was an accidental murder in there. There were shootings. And I have several recordings talking about shootings. Let's play the one with that. This one voice talks about being shot in the saloon. So here we go. Next one, 100%. And it's just not the most distinct here on BTR. Sometimes EVPs sound great here. Other times they just don't come through. But remember, we were dealing with really poor conditions. And I'll take it to 200. Okay, and we're going to go with the Help Me, and let's see if that's distinct. Here we go. It's always a crapshoot with these. And that's terrible, so I'm not going to go with that. But Those were just the three I threw up just for fun. I do have a bunch more that are more distinct after that. Yeah, Mother Jerry Heard Saloon. But what I got was several that were like right up on the microphone after that. And there was, they were all seemed to be fairly complimentary. Usually you get EVP that is kind of hostile. These spirits were very friendly and seemed to be wanting to either ask for help or were looking to tell us about what was going on with the place. We did get one EVP, which we feel is from the little girl, was the very first EVP. We put the recorder in the bathroom, women's room, women's bathroom, where this girl is said to reside, and we think it's because she is more comfortable with the women and doesn't like men that much. And I don't have it. Oh, God, Mother Jerry, I wish I had put it on, but I'll put it on for tomorrow because I got a show tomorrow. So we'll put that on. But what we got was as soon as we went in, Dom and me, and she put the recorder in, I started it and she put it in, and I stood at the door, and this little girl's voice goes, get out. and it's real clear. It's like, get out. So I wish I'd put that on for you to hear, but I'll do that for tomorrow. But, you know, we ended up with about 40-some-odd EVPs out of that. And I haven't even done the stuff from the other recordings we did up at the upper sections of the building. So it was an incredibly haunted place. And, you know, bars are just awesome places to get EVP. Show tomorrow is 8 o'clock Pacific time, 11 Eastern. So we'll be doing that. So, you know, Don, that's kind of what we got. I really, you know, I didn't feel any real hostile energy in there. It just seemed to be more just this curiosity about us. And they were talking about us, you know, in some of the EVPs, like, you know, tell them this, tell them that kind of thing. And it was really a noticeable thing. We did get a couple of names. And so, I'll get more on that. And I'm going to write the report. And then, wow, we are getting powerful rain, powerful, powerful rain here. And the wind is coming in hard. So if I drop off, Kathy, it's because I got hit with a storm here. But that's what's going on. We're getting these just this amazing interest in us and wanting us to come back. And actually, we actually had an invite back, which is surprising. Now, I've never had that happen before with an investigation ghost inviting you back. So they want us back.
Yeah, he was really impressed with you, Matt, there. I mean, as we progressed, I mean, he just really got interested in what you were telling him.
Yeah, and I think they really like him based on the stuff I'm picking up. They did have, there was a guy that came into the men's bathroom while we were doing our thing, and we did get one derogatory set of remarks about him because he was mouthing off, and I heard him saying some stuff. And then what ended up happening was they had a lot to say about him. And then I heard my own voice on one section where we were walking around in there doing our thing. And then they were actually complimentary to me and said some nice things about me, which I was like really touched, you know. So I really think we are welcome back there for, you know, a more intense investigation. And if not us, then, you know, I would say, you know, get another group in there as soon as possible. Maybe somebody who would be able to help find out exactly what they want. But I would sure like to be on that, you know, to do a full investigation and stay there for, you know, about 4 hours and just have the place to ourselves to do what we got to do, you know.
It's the way you are with him. You're just so respectful, and I really admire that. You know, it's an investigation. It's not a hunt. It's done with great reverence and respect. You know, I just really like that.
Yeah, we don't view it as although I say I'm a ghost hunter, but really I prefer to, you know, just say I'm meeting some people who happen to not have bodies, you know. Yeah, they just hang out there, and that's their thing. I mean, some of them haven't moved on for whatever reason. Others have moved on and just dropped back in because they love the place, you know. So, you know, you just treat them that way. And you know, that's why we don't provoke, you know. the most provoking we'll do sometimes is go, it will say, come on, you can do better than that, you know. But that's about the extent of it. I just think it's, you get a lot more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, you know, and that seems to be a good, works for me, you know. Ghost Adventures does it a different way, you know, but and they get great results, but you know, I rarely get followed home and having stuff happen to me like they do. So, you know, I have been followed home, though. I'll admit it. I've learned a couple of lessons about protecting yourself. And so, you know, in this business, is not for the faint of heart. You have to really know what you can run into out there and be careful. So, you know, just, you know, you learn to protect yourself. You know, and Alan and those guys can tell you all about it. They've had their experiences, I'm sure, with him as long in this business as long as he's been in. And Scott Wise over there, GHI, I'm sure they've seen a few tricks down the road. You know, I want to have them back on again, too. Yeah, they do. They're a very active team, and they got a lot of great cases they do. So I'm going to kind of pop at them and see if we can get them on here. But, yeah, I mean, when's the last time you've seen Dan? Is he doing pretty good there?
Dan who?
My brain, Matt. Sorry, my brain just took it up. I'm tired.
I don't frequent Matt too much, but Kaya here said something I think that would be really interesting to you about Monroe. I'm going to let him tell you about it, how he escorted them.
I had just read Robert Monroe's three books, John, on out-of-body, his out-of-body experiences.
Oh, Robert Monroe? Yeah. Yeah, I know who that is. Monroe, yeah, classic.
The Monroe Institute. I went over there in 2004 to their gateway program, but I've never experienced an out-of-body travel or anything like that. But in one of his books, he was talking about he went to this one house where a woman had been killed, and people were talking about there's a ghost there. And he travels there out-of-body, consciously, and is able to see her and communicate with her, and he took her by the hand because apparently he was describing when he's out of body, he's still got sense of touch and he's got sense of sight. He just can't, no voice to talk, but it's telepathic. So he takes her by the hand and starts moving upward because he had gone to above Earth plane and there was a place that he described as the religious territories where, depending on what particular religion that you're embracing in your physical body, the soul energy goes there, whether it's Catholicism or it's Protestantism or Islam or whatever. But so at some point, he's moving up, and she's on his hand, and then she disappears. So he assumes that she got off at the right place. And part of the Monroe Institute, they have one workshop there where they teach people to do that, where they, if people are adept at getting out of body, then they teach them to serve others. Like, for instance, when that one of the astronaut missions came back, in one of the, what do we call the space plane, and it disintegrated over New Mexico and Texas.
Yeah, that was Columbia. Yeah, that was the Space Shuttle Columbia. I work in the aerospace industry and intimately familiar with it. You know, my company builds the orbital maneuvering engines for the shuttle, and that was just devastating. I mean, you know, literally the people in our hallways, whenever these things happen, just walk around crying. So, yes, I remember that accident very well. Oh, yeah.
Well, what they did is they sent some folks from the Monroe Institute went up, you know, went out of body, and they encountered these astronauts after the, you know, the explosion, and they're just, like, kind of riding along in the atmosphere up there and assisted them to, you know, go where they needed to go. So they have a program for people to do that.
You know, it's funny you mention that because I read a very interesting thing in my time off, you know, getting back to balance with myself. And it was an interesting thing that I was reading about EVP. I was going back to the very beginning documents about electronic voice phenomena. And, you know, that was Sarah Estep wrote a book about it, and Friedrich Jurgensen, a European gentleman, I think he's Austrian, but a very traveled, well-educated man who kind of started the whole EVP thing back, you know, in the 40s, 50s, 60s. He really got into all this, started having experiences. And one of the things that he discovered is that he could actually have conversations EVP-wise with living people. And that got into some discussions about people who are in critical condition. Let's say you have somebody in a coma, and they may be declared brain dead, but their body, their spirit is still attached to the body, for example. And they're wow. wandering around, but and you can actually speak to them. And so this is a kind of an area I looked at, and I thought, wow, is anybody working with this? Is anybody doing anything with this? This is some of the stuff I'm looking at right now. It's you know, how do you help people who are unreachable, you know, who are still ready, you know, not quite crossed over, but who are residing in astral, just like you're talking about with the Columbia astronauts. And it's a very humane thing to do. It's the right thing to do is to try to help these folks. And so it's good to hear. I didn't know Monroe Institute was doing that.
I'm not sure if they're doing what you're describing. They may be doing that. I get a newsletter, but I haven't been really reading it lately. But it seems to me that something like that would have been very helpful in the Terry Schiavo case.
Yeah, it would have been. You know, that's the thing that really struck me with this is when you go back, it's funny. A lot of people, you know, in the paranormal business, we read these books and we quote from them and we think we're experts. And then you go back and actually read the book that you quoted, you know, and like Friedrich Jurgensen. I mean, I never would have read his books if it hadn't been for this thing that happened to me. And when I read it, my jaw dropped because this guy was so far ahead of his day. And he's still ahead of a lot of people in the business now at how he integrated both the science and the spirituality together. He's mentioned in passing and everybody just treats him like he didn't exist. And this guy wrote a fantastic book that you can get for free out there. You know, if you just look up Friedrich Jurgensen, and he's just absolutely a giant as far as I'm concerned after reading his books. And I'm about 3/4 of the way through the book that he's got. It's a downloadable PDF, and maybe I'll put it out on Facebook, you know, for people. I did it already, but I'll pop it out there on my Facebook page again. But it's that kind of thing that you find out that that there are these spirits out there that, you know, do need our help and would really appreciate that. You know, they're wandering around lost, and here's somebody comes along that kind of can tell them how things are going. And there's guides that want to help them on the other side, too, but with our energy and our drive, we can do some good too, and bring a little clarity to a bad situation, and offer hope to people who are, you know, looking at their child or their relative, you know, brain dead, and you know, and then they find out that's not the end of them, you know, they go on. And by the way, here's some proof that they're doing okay, you know, and that's the neat part. I think that's just like, you know, once they, you know, we grow up and get past the scientific model being all there is for proof, which, I as a scientist myself, it took me a long time to understand this, that you didn't need to, you couldn't reproduce everything, you know. Some things were just meant to be the way they are, and it's just the preponderance of evidence is enough to show you that there's something going on. Accept that. But I think that that's what's going to happen is there's going to be a heart part of it, the spirit part of it will come out, and people will take just be more compassionate, you know, and be able to help, reach out and help people like that. So I think that day is coming, and you know, and to those who pioneer and do this work and did the leading edge, man, I tip my hat, because after I read that, I was just in awe, you know, and I'm going, wow, we got to do something with this. So I'm going to run around talking about it, you know, and just try to drum it up. And and it's funny, you know, here you are saying similar things. And it's funny how the group mind works. It's like you get enough of us talking this way, we're going to change the world.
Can you put that URL to that PDF on the chat here?
I tell you what, let me look for that. Jurgensen. Yeah, I think we could find that. If I go to, of course, my browser acts up. Come on, you.
You want me to do a shout out while you're doing that, John? Or Kathy?
Yeah, why don't you just do that? Well, I took for Jurgensen.
Go ahead, Kathy. You're good at it. Where are you, Kathy?
Oh, you do it. You do it, Dom.
Okay, we got two paranormal GRIs in there, Kathy and John. Abstract Truth, howdy, howdy. Ellen is Ghost Radio, Amethyst 72, hello. Clara Normal, hey, we finally got somebody normal in here. Dominica Mori, no, I shouldn't say that. You should have done this, Gabby. Eagle 21, oh my, what is that, Kaya? How do you say Etherealnosis. And Fire Witch, and I haven't seen her in a little bit. Magenta Shofar and Mother Jerry, Robin 063, Scott Wise, GHI. I don't know what GHI stands for. And Wendy Sleep. We got some really fun people.
I just found it.
Oh, did I say Robin? Yeah, okay.
And GHI is Ghost Hunters Incorporated, and they also have a great show here on Blog Talk, and you can find out more from them. I think Scott or Alan can post their link. But I have just posted, guys, I found it out on the ATRANS-C site, which of which I'm a member, Association of Trans Communication, which is an international organization for instrumental trans communication, talking to spirits. But there's the book that you can all get for free, and it's a PDF, and I was able to convert it and read it off of my Kindle using the right software. So you guys got yourself a great book there to read, and when you read that, really give it a, you know, take your time to read that and absorb it, because it's just great material. And when you read it, you're going to be blown away by how hard the other side worked to get to the point where we're at right now, where all of us are here talking about this kind of thing, you know, on air. You know, it's, you know, there's a just a huge community that owes so much to these few people that were willing to stand up and do, you know, follow their heart, you know, and do things that were seemingly crazy in the beginning, and then turned out to change the world. And that's what this guy did. And he's unsung. You know, he's not really recognized other than a few lines now and then. And when you read this book, you're going to go, why isn't this guy talked about more, a little bit more. So there you go. You got it. And let's see. I'm trying to think of anything else I can put out there. I would recommend, you know, although this is crassly commercial almost, but I'm not making any money at it, so I can talk about it, is go out and look at John Edwards' latest book, or John Edward, not John Edwards, John Edward, the medium. His book is, oh, God, let me go find it. John Edward, wrong? Oh, gosh, I'm firing up the wrong stuff here. John Edward. And I'm going to pull. He's got Infinite Quest. And is the name of the book out on Amazon. And I ordered that, and I thought it was going to be just some book about, you know, stuff he's done. And it turned out to be a book about how to do what he does. And it turned out to have some of the best writing I've seen on the subject. I was really pleasantly surprised with the writing. And so, you know, I'm giving it really high marks. And I thought, you know, if it's a book, if you're going to buy a book about how to do this work, that's the one I'd get, you know, for somebody that was just walking in the door and going, what's this all about? Because he really writes it in a really great manner. And yet the stuff is great for somebody who's been doing it for years. So I found out a bunch of things I didn't know anything about. I thought I knew. And it turned out, you know, it was just really leading edge material. So I've got a bunch of, I've been reading like crazy, I mean, since I've been down. So my God, what a period of development this has been. But let's see, how are we doing on time, Kathy? Where are we, 9:46? We've got about 15 minutes. Goodness gracious, should we take another call, or what do we got? Anybody calling in? I think, no. Well, we got a 616 out there, but they're not got their hand up. So I don't know. I'm going to open the board up in the lineup here for the last few minutes about anybody wants to call in, 646-478-0377. Otherwise, I'm just going to ramble on and just we can just chat about things going on. Dom, what are you working
on
these days?
I got a question for you.
Yeah, I just felt that, so I thought, hey, I'm going to ask and see what you've got. What's going on?
Well, I felt that too, so why are we talking? Tyler, he has an intentional community north of Prescott. Do you see anything happening with Kaya's property?
A lot of work, and is this a starting up thing? Is it in like in a startup phase?
Yeah, I'll let him answer.
Yeah,
he's working his butt off. He's working his butt off on it, right?
Right.
Yeah, and it's going to be an uphill climb for about 2 years. That's what I get, but it's not going to be insurmountable. But you're going to get challenges. Nothing that won't break the bank. But the hardest part isn't going to be the weeding and the moving and the shoving in the building. It's going to be the people.
Absolutely.
So, because you can't do it alone.
Yep.
Am I that making sense?
Yes.
Yeah, and is it? I sense government stuff is going to be a little bit weird. Given the way government's been lately, kind of hostile and not so nice to people, they're going to be a little weird. And so you just have to stay the course and just, be authentic, which I don't think you're going to have any trouble with. But they're going to be asking questions, especially from probably from an environmental impact standpoint, things like that. They're going to want to know an awful lot and just write it out, because eventually they'll like go away. And when things balance out anyway, because nobody will be able to afford them. So that should get better. But your intention is good on it. You're probably going to have to make adjustments in ways I don't think you're going to like in a few areas. But for the most part, you're going to get what you want out of it. But just remember, it's a long-term commitment, what you're up to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this really long-term. You're looking at it going, sense I get is eyes wide open. And you've got the sense of that, what it's all about, but it's going to be a little harder than you thought. So you're going to need your friends to back you up, and don't be afraid to go in and scream once in a while. It's allowed. Yeah. You're going to need to.
Current intention of lifetime involvement.
What's that?
Current intention of lifetime involvement.
Yeah. Just take my advice. Best advice I ever got was from one of my old bosses in the aerospace business. He said, I was really frustrated one day, and he says, I order you to go to your car and scream. And I went, what? And he says, I order you to go to your car and scream. At the end of work, your assignment is to scream for 2 minutes every day and come back and tell me how you feel. And I thought he was nuts, and I didn't do it. And then he got madder in hell at me, and took me out to my car and made me do it. And he watched me. And so I screamed for 2 minutes, and then I got to liking it. And so every so often, I don't need to scream every so often, but I have found that screaming, when you're really frustrated and you're not going to, you don't end up taking it down on people. You just go in your car, turn up the radio and scream. Ah, you son of a, you can say every word you want and you get it out. And then you're like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's get back to work. And it's the best damn, thing I've ever done. And it works. Trust me, it works. Yeah, my mother uses a stick. She goes out and beats the hell out of a dead tree. And she feels really good. She beats the crap out of these trees, and let me tell you, and it really works. With my dad, my father is a stroke patient. And let me tell you, you want to try stressing somebody out? Try taking care of a stroke patient. They are loony. And she went out one day, and he set her off, and she got up, smiled, walked out the door. He followed her out there. She got a stick and started beating the heck out of it. And the next thing he's running for the house because the words that were coming out of her mouth are unrepeatable. And she came back in. She was fine. She beat the crap out of that tree. I mean, there's still marks on that tree. And she does it every once in a while. It's about every 6 months she has a wind ding with that tree.
John, we have a question from the chat room.
What's that?
We have a question from the chat room. I believe it was abstract. Truth. Wanted to know, can you read from the chat room?
Yeah, I can read from the chat room. Let me see. It says here, Claranormal. Okay, I got to go. Great show tonight. You're very welcome, Don. GRI Paranormal. Good night. God bless. No, I can read from the chat room. I know what you're asking me. You're going to hit me. I know. I love you, too. I can do it. You're going to chew me out later. I know. It's good to be back. Okay, what's the question from who is it that I'm going to read?
Abstract Truth.
Okay, Abstract. And tell me what's the question I'm going to be looking for it here. So any more info on where my mom, on where treasures are buried? Yeah, she's saying get a good white metal detector and get cracking.
Okay, and Abstract Truth wants to know. You ready?
Yep, I'm all set.
Abstract Truth wants to know, I turned 18 a few days ago, and I want to know a good place to move.
As far away from civilization as possible, but with not so much of a Walmart, but maybe something, you know, similar in size, and a few doctors nearby. That's always good. Where to move? My goodness, it's a big question because it's so dependent on what you like there, my girl. And what I would say to you is, this is going to be your exercise, not so much me telling you where to live. It's going to be up to you to discover where you must live. And I can only go on my experiences, so I'll just give you a little flavor of it. I've traveled all over the continental United States. I've also been to the Arctic Circle, the Caribbean, through all the Southwest, out to Hawaii, you know, and around the Pacific. And I have seen an awful lot of things. I've stood on volcanoes. I've partied on an iceberg in the Arctic Ocean, you know, and making margaritas out there in the middle of the damn place and having a great time. I've had bears follow me. I've done all kinds of things, you know, and I escaped two different grizzly bears. Thank God I'm still here. But the bottom line is I've seen a lot, and I've traveled a lot. I've been to, you know, to Boston. I've stood on Paul Revere's grave. I've been in the White House. You know, I have been everywhere, you know, been on a party ships out in the Caribbean. Bottom line is I went and experienced these places, and I found out what I liked and didn't like in places, and I found that my place is northern Arizona. That's where I should be, and that's what I'm supposed to do, and that's where I'm going to end up. And that's when I say to you, I challenge you to take the place that you feel the most comfort in, and that's the place you belong. And reserve the right to have that change on you, because that can and does happen. And we, as human beings, we are an infinite organism that changes, and our needs change over time. So that could change for you. But what I would say is, if you haven't traveled, take it from a guy who's been around the planet for half a century. It's the most worthwhile thing you'll ever do. I've met more people and more quality individuals just by getting off my ass and getting out there and seeing the world and getting to know that, for the most part, people are people all the world over. And you will find that in your travels. But you really need to keep your mind open, you know, because people are, you know, they may be the same, but they'll have different customs and different belief systems. And so when you're there, do as the Romans say, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And you'll find that it'll open your mind, and you'll be very expansive in your views. So do that, and I sense that you will find your answer sooner than later. It took me about a decade to finally figure out about Arizona, you know, because I've been there quite a few times, and I figured it out. You know, every time I went there, I felt good. You know, and that's a big sign. That's spirit telling you. You know, there's a reason we have feel good, feel bad receptors in our bodies. Feel good is a good thing. That means that something's giving you the right thing, what you need. So that's my reading for you. And your assignment is to go do that. Now you go live your life and you go figure it out, because I can't do that for
you. And happy birthday, Abstract Truth. and he wants to call and wants to know, do you see any earthquakes hitting hard on the lunar eclipse, because I live under a dam right now and I don't want to die.
If you're under a dam, if you're under a dam right now, it would be probably a good time to, you know, it's a smart thing to do. There is actual scientific evidence to that earthquake activity and volcanic activity do pick up during, you know, times when the moon is full or a new moon or there's high tide, things like that. It might not be a bad idea just to take a little break and get out from underneath that. I don't see it so much, you know, as a definite thing happening, but the probability has increased, and that's a wise move on your part to ask that. So, it can happen, and I don't know where you're at, you know, in the world right now, abstract, but what I would say to you is, you know, heed the warnings. Pay attention to what the animals are doing. They are very much in the know ahead of us, we puny humans. But I can tell you this, I'm out here on the West Coast, and we are having increased activity, and I've been sensing that we're about due for a very big one. And I'd say we're probably within 6 months. So that would be my read. I think we're going to get hit hard. So, especially in Southern California. So, yeah, be ready. John, who's turning on our little red and blue rose glass light? Huh? It's probably a ghost that you brought home, Alan.
We have 2 minutes. No, 1 minute, John.
Okay. Well, hey, you know what, guys? We've had a heck of a good show. I lasted the 2 hours. I'm going to go to bed and get into my outfit and kick back and feel good that I did a good show. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Cool.
I want to thank everybody who's been on. We did the read off, and I've got just want to say thanks to Fire Witch Joy and to you, Kathy, and to all the calling guests for coming on.
That's not true.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, with that, I don't know exactly what time we have because my atomic clock used to be a little bit off. But tomorrow, I really didn't have much figured out for tomorrow's show. I think we can do some stuff about investigations and talk a little bit about some of the stuff we did. I'll have some more evidence to play. Probably let's do some readings. I'll take a maybe move a little further out and do some reading territory and have a nice night out. And then we'll talk about the upcoming eclipse too and some things to do for those of you who will be able to see it. I think I'm going to be in the rain clouds. So, but I will be glad to share some advice since I'm an amateur astronomer. And also look at the spiritual perspective of the coming eclipse and also the effect on the paranormal. So we'll talk about that. And so I will see you guys later, 20 seconds remaining. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and we're signing off. See you guys tomorrow. Bye now.
Bye, everybody.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.
My love.